Yo, what's up, homies? At Mr. Adam X here for another episode of the Pursuit Podcast on the Out of Bounds Network. This week's guest is Jake Hopfinger. The dude grew up on literally 800 to 1,000 foot of vertical and is now hucking cliffs, skiing huge lines, just did a film called Dollar Short. A quick run-up on the plot of Dollar Short: two ski bums rob a bank, buy a truck, buy a snowmobile, and have an epic winter. If that doesn't excite you, I don't know what will. Just got third in King of Queens of Corbett's. Here it is, man. Jake Hopfinger.
Jake, thanks for being on the show. Kind of tell everyone who you are and what you do.
I'm Jake. Skier by passion. I live in Bozeman, Montana. Kind of just loving life right now. It's awesome.
So when you say skier, are you... would you consider yourself a pro skier? Are you getting paid? Are you working? What is a skier?
I think it's kind of weird, like the whole pro ski thing, but I kind of just started to get paid a little bit. So I guess technically, yeah, but it's kind of, I wouldn't say I'm a pro skier really, but I love to ski and it's what I've been able to do all winter. Sort of for the past three winters, I've been able to just ski. So it's pretty sweet, but I'm definitely working in the summer. So.
Okay. And what do you do in the summer?
Dig mountain bike trails right now. It's awesome.
Oh, that's so a fun one. That's a fun gig.
Sick. Yeah, it's a good gig. I'm a big sky. One of my homies, his dad owns this trail building company. So we just kind of just, we just dig all summer. It's awesome.
That works out perfect. Yeah. So how did you get your start? I know you're an East Coast kid, but not many people know that. How'd you get your start? Where'd you come from? What did you do? And what led you to where you are now?
I grew up in Western New York, like Rochester area, ski racing. So I got a ski racing background. I had so much fun ski racing. I ski raced pretty much through high school. I went to college in New Hampshire for a year. Kind of got my ass kicked on the Division I circuit. I was kind of a little over it. I figured I wanted to keep going to school. So I moved to Bozeman to go to MSU. And I kind of got distracted by skiing, so haven't finished school yet, but having so much fun skiing. So we'll see.
I don't think there's anything wrong with that. Yeah, I looked up your some of your D1 stats, and it looked like you had a lot of DNFs in there. So did you just blow apart, dude? Or
it's so hard. Like, for anyone that doesn't know that, like, Division I circuit it's pretty heavy ski racing on the East Coast. And I came in as a freshman, like no PG years or anything. I just jumped right into it and was starting like 60th and just like chewed up. And I was kind of giving her. So I got my ass kicked, to say the least.
But yeah, I definitely looked up your results and it was like DNF, DNF, yep. DNF, sixth place, DNF. I was like, this guy went till he blew apart.
Oh, that was definitely my biggest issue with ski racing. It was just crashing like consistently. But ski racing is awesome. I love it.
So did you grow up ski racing then?
Yeah, I grew up ski racing. Yeah, that was like, I kind of started ski racing early on as like, I feel like it's the classic, like, oh, I can go skiing every day, so I'll just ski race. All my buddies did it, so it was like a no-brainer. And then I turned out I really liked doing it and I kind of excelled in it. So I kind of just kept going and I figured that's what I wanted to do. So I went to college. I was like, yeah, it's sweet.
Is there a tryout for like how did you get, did you go, like, did you just go to school and then you're on the ski team, or how does that work?
Well, I went to this tiny little school called Colby Sawyer College, and it's small little, like, central New Hampshire, nice area, tiny school. Like, I think there's like 1500 kids. And I was talking to the coaches, kind of like trying to find a school to go to where I could ski race. And they were like, yeah, like, let's do it. So I signed up.
That's awesome. That's wild. That's cool. Do you think that prepared you for what you're doing now? Or do you think it's totally different? Because now you're backcountry, big mountain. I mean, you just placed third at King and Queens. Like, we can talk about that. Sure. But did ski racing, is there a crossover there, or is it two different worlds?
I think there is. I think it preps you pretty well for just like a solid foundation for skiing, I think. So I think it helps, but it's so a different type of, obviously it's a different type of skiing, but like, I think just having a good foundation helps a lot. But it's funny, I actually like, I think I'd be a better ski racer now than I was when I was ever ski racing, just because of like how much skiing I get to do. And I think I'd be better. And I actually toy with the idea putting this, the race skis back on for just like going training, but probably won't happen.
They do like that Baker. Is it Baker? Snowboarders do the Baker banked, I think is what it is.
Yeah, it looks so fun.
And I always wish there was something like that for skiing where like,
yeah,
pro big mountain guys and race, like everyone just comes out and like.
Oh, dude, have you ever seen the Darren Rawls Bonsai Tour?
No, where's that? Or what is it?
They do it out in, I think it's a Squaw. It must be somewhere out in Tahoe. And it's like literally like strap the GS skis on and it's like big mountain hard pack or like slushy GS race. And it's
that's
like,
amazing.
Yeah.
And people show so up. I mean, pros and AMs or.
I think it's, yeah, you sign up and you do it. I don't know if they're still doing it, but it looks so fun.
That's awesome.
I'd love to do it.
I think there's so much weird growth for competitions like that. Like at Jay Peak in Vermont, they do a big mountain rail competition.
Oh, what?
So you ski like the face at Jay.
Yeah.
And then once you get out of the face, like the bottom, like a little rollout, because it's Vermont resorts, you know, it's not like you ski the face and then there's like two rail hits.
What?
It's That's like sick. Just like the most bizarre, crazy concept of, you know, a big mountain competition.
Jay's sick, though.
Jay's awesome. Jay's like the gem that, you know, we're not West Coast by any means, and you know that, but Jay is awesome.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's the hill for sure. I've only skied there a few times. I've skied there when it was really good, and then I skied there and it rained like 3 inches, and it was fucking brutal.
Yeah, I mean, that's the East Coast experience, though, right? Like,
oh,
it's,
totally. It's awesome.
One day it's boilerplate, and then you get literally like 7 inches, and it skis like it's 3 feet deep. So that's
awesome. It looks like it's been pretty good this winter out there, huh?
It's been an unreal – it's been one of our best East Coast winters, I think, in probably 5 years.
Yeah.
Because we've had the snow.
So awesome.
We've had the snow over the years, but this year we haven't had the melts.
Yeah.
So like, usually we get – yeah, it's been so like the we can explore new zones that like we haven't been able to get to.
Nice.
Because like the last couple of years have always been like, okay, it nuked. Let's go to the spots we know. And then it's going to melt in 2 days, right? So this year it's been like, oh, we've hit all those zones. What about all those other zones that we've been like mapping?
Totally.
So we've found so many, not found, but we've actually gotten to ski all the new zones that we've been looking at.
Yeah.
But the hard part now is just travel. Like,
oh, I know. Like, it's crazy.
So what are you filming this year?
Yep. Yeah, we're mostly filming, which it's pretty sweet. Like, we haven't been able to travel too much, but it's kind of been working to our advantage a little bit. Like, we've just been able to stay local and, like, really dial in our backyard zones, if you will. So
do you think that's been easier or harder for you guys? Just creating exciting new content because you can't travel? Or is it like for you, an athlete, just like, this is amazing because I'm not spending time on airplanes and hotels. I'm literally like sleeping in my bed, waking up and skiing my
backyard. It goes both ways. Like, this year we've kind of had a pretty sketchy snowpack consistently. Like, it's not going to get better, it looks like, in the Montana area. So it's like, we aren't really, I mean, it's only like end of Feb, so it's kind of early for us, like for like getting on big stuff, but haven't really been able to ski anything big. So we've been really focusing on like little stuff in the trees and just kind of like little one hitters and mini golf. So for that, sweet, but I wish we could travel to get to like a safer snowpack. And it's kind of everywhere in the Northwest, West area. It's been kind of a little spooky, it looks like. So we're taking her easy.
Yeah, which is amazing to hear.
Yeah.
Being from the East Coast, do you feel like, how do you feel safety wise? Because you just didn't grow up in it. Or like, are you catching up? Are you taking courses? Are you?
Yeah. Oh yeah. I've definitely done all the courses, and it's like, what's like, this crew we've been skiing with is so sick. Cause these guys are, I've learned like more than I can even fathom in the past few years of just like skiing and being in the backcountry. And, it's been really cool to learn. I like am so into the whole side of it. So it's cool to be really conservative with it too. and kind of make calls to step off things. And
yeah, I think there's something to be said for, you know, living to ski another day. Like,
oh, absolutely.
It doesn't do anything if you get this banger line and you don't get to ski it tomorrow because you made a dumb mistake, you know?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Yesterday we stepped off something. It was like, like it's not today. Nope. Let that one sit. So,
which is amazing though. It's amazing to hear. And I think people need to hear that, like specifically this year when uphill touring equipment is like sold out.
Oh, I know. It's insane.
And it's crazy. Like, but like what a world that, you know, uphill equipment sold out everywhere. And the snowpack on the West Coast has been like the most dangerous it's been in years. Like,
yeah, it's pretty bad.
But, you know, I think it's people like you and, you know, influencers, quote unquote, and pros saying you got to walk away sometimes that people need to hear, because 99.9% of these people aren't getting paid even a dollar to go ski that run. So.
Totally. It's spooky. We've had a few close-ish calls just on days. Maybe we were pushing a little hard, but and just learning.
And how do you make that decision with filming? Because
it's tricky. It's like, so like the other day we're out, it's like super bluebird, it's cold, snow's epic, like it's probably good. And then we kind of like kick off this little thing on a different aspect. We're like, okay, like we got to have like our eyes and ears open, so we ski a little, and then we see another red flag and it's like, okay, this is like a no-brainer, we got to shut it down for today. But it's hard because you're like, oh my god, it's pumping, like really good out, like we could be crushing, but you also want to take it easy.
Yeah, how do you manage that? Is it like when you go out, so you're filming right now, are you still with like Benchy Creative?
Yeah, that's those, like those dudes. Main focus. Yeah, those dudes are awesome.
And then you've done some stuff with TGR. Are you doing more with TGR this year, or?
I'm working on it. It's tricky. I'm working on it. I hope.
Yeah. No, that's all good. It's all good, man.
It's crazy, man.
It's so one, I guess when you say not to dive too deep, but when you're like working on it, how does that, do they call you? Do you call them?
It's kind of a tricky industry. Like I said, like I'm learning all about the snow. The whole ski industry is insane. Like that's in itself, like I'm learning a ton. So,
but I guess, go ahead, sir.
For the TGR stuff, it's like kind of last year, we kind of fell into this position where we kind of ended up working this deal where we gave them some footage in exchange for this segment, which was so sick. Typically how they do it is, I don't think people really realize it, but the athletes have to essentially pay their way, or their sponsors are paying their way into that film. So they're super, like TGR really wants to work with me, I suppose, but my sponsors aren't really wanting to cough the money up.
For
sure.
So
it's like, I've been kind of this middleman in like, trying to make these deals happen. So we'll see. I mean, it's tricky. I saw all those guys just recently and doing the whole networking thing. So
yeah, it's, you're your own manager. That's what I think people forget, is like you're 23, 24, 25, somewhere in that range.
23.
Like, you know, in any situation, you'd be new to the business world. And now focused on being, one, an athlete in shape, having enough money to live, managing ski sponsors, and trying to get video parts.
Sorry.
Would you think – what's that?
It's a lot going on, but it's so fun. It's the coolest
industry. So would you think – like what was your big break? Like was it going – was it – what started the big break? Was it moving out west? Was it shaking the right hands? Was it King and Queens?
That's a tricky, I don't really know if I had like a big break per se. Well, I feel like I'm waiting for one.
Well, I think your name is slowly becoming a household name. You know, it doesn't happen overnight and you're young, but like, I mean, I think you were the first, correct me if I'm wrong, but first skier to throw a double into Corbett's. Is that correct?
I think people have done it before, but.
Okay. I think that's the claim on the internet.
I've heard that claim and I kind of feel bad having that claim because I think people have definitely done it before, but I think maybe I was the first one to land it, but I kind of backslapped. So.
But that counts for me. That's a land.
For sure. For sure.
But I think, you know, you just had a basically full feature film with Benchy. What's it called? Dollar Short, right? Dollar Short.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Dollar Short. That was a fun one.
I mean, that's a 14 minute film. So I think your name is getting, it's becoming recognizable. You just got third in King of Queens at Corbett's.
Yeah.
So what?
Sweet, thanks.
Yeah. I mean, that's how you do it. Right. So, I mean, it's just interesting to hear how
Kings and Queens is crazy too. It's insane how much media is around that thing. It's like,
I think it's, if anyone's ever been to Jackson Hole, it's Corbett's is right there. Like you think,
I know it's kind of the recipe for like a perfect, like a media event.
It's amazing, but like I've skied that. And then I'm watching like someone like you huck doubles and like, I don't know, that snowboarder who did like the wall ride. And it's like,
oh, that shit was crazy.
Even though it's not relatable for me because I can't do either of those things, I've skied that. So like, okay. I think that's what makes that competition so rad is someone's dad is making their 15-year-old kid, watch this competition and the rad dad being like, I skied that line. Like, so I think that's, and it's right there. Yeah. It's totally on display.
Back in the day.
Right. I remember standing on it years ago, like knees shaking, and some local on ski boards, literally on like ski boards or snow blades, just barreling off it and like calling me out and just took off. And I was like, oh, okay. Like it spits you out. It's a nice funnel. But long story long, how do you prepare for that? Or do you just,
I think you just kind of go. it kind of sucks. It's actually pretty flat. The landing is pretty flat, but this year we had good snow, but the light was pretty bad. But yeah,
it's flat for you guys because you're landing so deep.
Yeah, true.
I think, right, like
there's kind of a wind, like this like wind texture forms on like the skier left wall, like the west wall they call it, so it's better, but like there's only like a handful of good landings in that thing. And I got so lucky this year. I pulled third, so I was like major soaked, so it was good for me. But then yeah, man, but I feel like the 15th person, it was pretty bombed out.
But so you guys don't get, like, do you come in a week early and hit it? Or do you just, like, your first hit is, like, your first hit of the competition?
Well, we can session the bottom jump, like, the day before the comp or a few days before, which is just, like, a park jump. And oh, my God, I ate shit on that thing this year. It was so bad. So, yeah, but all good. But, yeah, first run is, like, the first time we get to go into the main couloir.
I guess the answer is because you're a pro skier and that's why you
people don't get it. It's perfect pow. Like it was so good. Like no one ever gets to ski it with that good of snow, so it's like a total treat.
How long did they close it prior? Just like a week to prepare? It's closed
for a while because they like send park and pipe crew in there and they make all these jumps in there. So it's like they build the jumps, let it reset, and then keep it closed until the comp. So
that's wild. Awesome. So is that how do you get into that? Is it invite
it's
only?
Invite. Yeah, it's invite. I want to be back this year. I'm hoping they invite me back next year. It's fun.
I think a podium spot would secure a spot for next year. But
I hope. I was haggling one of the guys that puts it on. I was like, dude, you got to get me back in here. He's like, oh, we got you. I was like, sick.
I mean, I would say if you land on the podium, you're almost guaranteed a spot for next year.
Yeah.
But what's next for next year as far as that comp?
Like, I don't know.
Do you think there's room to?
Yeah, I think it was bad viz this year. I think that like really limited kind of what went on. If it was like Bluebird, it would have been pretty sweet because the snow was really good, but you just couldn't, like, it was crazy. You're like looking into it and you couldn't really see like any of the jumps in there, like pretty bad viz. Like if we were just like skiing for like a film day, it would have been like a no way, but
right.
Kind of got to go.
Do you do other competitions throughout the year or is this kind of your one?
No, just that one. I kind of want to. Like the IFSA tour looks pretty fun, but we'll see. I usually stay pretty dang busy with filming.
Filming?
Yeah.
So back to filming, you know, we see Dollar Short, an 11 to 14 minute segment. How long does that take to film? And how much?
That was all winter.
And how much effort goes into that, right? Like, I'm just really trying to drive it home. Like, I know if I try to film a 15 second Instagram clip, it takes me a week because I suck. Yeah. But like, are you guys landing bolts? Are you
no way.
Like what is that?
Mostly. It sucks. It takes a lot of effort. Yeah, it's a whole production. And those benchy boys I work with are the best, man. They work so hard. It's unbelievable. Like it's pretty insane. We get to do the fun thing. We get to go skiing and they're just like freezing their ass off every day in the backcountry. Like expensive cameras, working really hard, and getting the footage is just like the first part. Those guys were editing like well into July this year, so they work hard. It's a lot.
So who comes up with the script? Was this your idea? Did you pitch it to them? They pitched it to you?
Well, those guys, they're filmmakers first off. Like, so they're. Did you watch it?
Oh yeah.
It's pretty like, it's got like a lot of like, you know, ski acting, which is my. Well,
but I think that part. Stuff's fun because it's relatable. Like you roll sure. up, you like. I mean, I'm not robbing a bank by any means, and but like you roll up in like a shitty Civic and like tear out of there, and then like you have all this cash. That's the concept, right? It's like you rob a bank. You rob a bank, and then you buy the fancy truck that you got to have to go skiing, and the fancy snowmobiles. Yeah. You basically have your dream. Winter is kind of the concept, I think, right?
Yeah, essentially. And we like, I think when we were like brainstorming for it this fall, it was like we're kind of trying to like do something a little different. So we're like, all right, sweet, like we can bring these elements of like a narrative based story and then add like good skiing to it. So we're like trying to come up with this like well-rounded piece, which is harder to do than you'd think.
Make 100%.
The whole storyline fit. So we kind of just started shooting and then we're like, oh, like this would be kind of cool. And believe it or not, like obviously the world got shut down in like March. So we were like, fuck, we can't ski really. So we kind of shut it down skiing and we're like shooting all of this narrative to like fill out this film. So it kind of worked to our advantage a little, which was fun. So it's tricky. We're doing something similar this year.
Okay.
Well, quite a bit different, but.
But still telling a story. I think it's great because I think, I mean, one, there's so much content out there, so it's hard to like capture somebody for 10 to 15 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also like, for years we had all that ski porn where it was just like nothing but just banger shots, bang. And it like, for me, it was a turnoff because I can't relate to any of that. Like I can't do those lines except for like the last 10 seconds where there's just people tomahawking. Like, that's like, oh yeah, I could do that. Like
totally.
But I think films and content has gotten it back to storytelling, which is just for me, just so with still adding ski porn, but like you take something like, you know, Dollar Short or like Chasing Nirvana, if you've seen any of that stuff, like,
oh, absolutely.
That's storytelling. And it's, you know, I think it sells skis. It makes people want to go skiing.
Yeah.
It makes people want to rent a hut for a weekend with their friends, maybe not with COVID, but like, so it's fun to see. And it's interesting on where it's headed. I think
it's interesting. We were like pretty, releasing it, we were like pretty unsure of what people were gonna think. Like we didn't know if it would be like too much narrative and like And to be frank with you, like, I'm definitely, it's not my favorite to act. I'm like a pretty shitty actor for anyone that's seen it. But
I think that's the fun part, is like, you're still like a skier, bro. Right. Like,
yeah,
you're not an actor. And there's a reason Brad Pitt gets paid millions of dollars.
Acting's hard, dude.
It's hard.
It's so hard.
So I think that's what makes it fun, is like these two skier bros just like acting, which is like, you know, B film basically, you know, like,
yeah,
like, but then with just these bangers ski clips in between.
Yeah, it's kind of a fun way to go about it. I like it, and the crew who we work with is awesome, man. Those guys are so great, can't stress that enough.
So what's the best part of filming?
For sure skiing. Well, it's like insane. It's also, I really have enjoyed like coming into this, like, it's more than just like skiing a line. It's like you kind of like place these cameras like where you want them and like shoot it the best it could be seen. So it's really, it brings a lot more than just the skiing. But that being said, it's like takes a lot of time. You're like always waiting, feet get cold. yeah.
And then what's the worst part of skiing? To be, you know, for the exact opposite.
Yeah. Wait. Like, dude, it's just like waiting on a light, like a cloud to move. It's like wait there for 20 minutes. It's like you're like sitting on top of something that's spooky, and then you gotta, yeah, wait for the light, or the drone battery dies. You're like whatever it is. It's totally so much going on, but it's fun.
So how do you stay stoked on that? Because like, I don't know. Don't you ever just want to ditch your stuff, like ditch all the camera gear and just like ski that line? Or yeah. Is it worth the sacrifice per se to like have cold feet and like wait for that drone to get back up to see the gratification of feedback and everything else?
So worth it. It's insane. Like end of the season, you'll be like, just like looking through footage and there'll be just like all these things you remember skiing. And then you get to go back and just like literally watch them and like live them again. It's awesome. It's so worth it. It's fun.
So is that the plan to continue on and just keep filming, or more competitions?
Definitely keep filming. I love it, man. It's awesome. It turns the whole skiing into like, yeah, a whole nother thing. I like really have learned to love it. So that's where I'm focusing. I think we'll see. I don't know.
I love that. Let's talk. Let's talk a little bit about sponsors.
Yeah.
I know you have a bunch. Do you want to talk through them? Talk how that works? Because the general public that's listening to this podcast, they spend a lot of money on equipment and ski, and they think it's all just like, for you, is all just like free. So I think just talk about that relationship and like how it works, and like, clearly, yeah, you get free stuff, but like free is a very loose term. Like you're putting your body, yeah, on totally, the line for, so let's talk about, I mean, you can go through your list of sponsors. You can talk, you know,
For my big sponsors are Sweet Protection, for like outerwear, helmet, goggles, back protectors, like all the stuff that keeps you safe and warm. And then Line Skis, I signed with Line this year, which I'm so stoked about. Those guys are the best. So those are my two big ones. And then I got this local beer company, Montucky Cold Snacks. So
that's everyone's dream, to get sponsored by a beer company.
It's so awesome, dude. Those guys are the best. They're like in Bozeman. They're like literally, their office is like a minute from my house. So I go in there and haggle them. It's pretty sweet.
That's awesome. So Sweet Protection, are you wearing these back protections when you're doing these big lines? Because I see them.
Yeah, oh yeah.
They're on.
Oh yeah.
Like when you're doing Corbett's, you're wearing that stuff.
It's so sweet. It's like, they're Sweet Protection. Like I've worn a bunch of back protectors, especially through my ski racing and stuff. I was always wearing them. Sweet Protection, definitely the best back protectors. They're awesome. And they're warm too. Like if it's cold out, you put that thing on, it keeps your whole core body temperature warmer, I think.
Right.
I pretty much wear it every day. So
And are you doing a lot of resort skiing?
Yeah, a fair bit. Not a ton. I definitely ski in the backcountry a lot more, but yeah. Like on a down day, I'm going to go ski the resort this afternoon. I'm
nice. Stoked. Sorry for jamming you up.
Oh, dude, no worries.
I know what I want to ask, but I'm not sure how to ask it. But how involved are you with the products moving forward with like sweep protection?
I mean, we're the ones using them. So they kind of come to us for input really on them, which is so cool. I've like loved growing into that. Like right now there's this new helmet coming out and I've been wearing it and kind of just kind of keeping my mouth quiet, but like kind of showing it off a little. It's a pretty sick helmet. So it should be, it's coming out next year. So it should be good.
And how do you feel about, like, do they listen to your feedback? Are they into it? Are you vocal about what you love and what you hate about it? Cause I think.
For sure. Yeah. Yeah. It's great. I work really closely with this guy, Casey down in Boulder, Colorado. Sweep Protection is actually out of Oslo, Norway. So they're over the sea, but they're pretty much in the next 2 years, they're making this big push into North America. So I think we're going to start seeing a lot more of it. So I've been working, really closely, like just like product and whatever it is, even like this hat, like I'm wearing people, it's like a prototype, I guess, a sample for next year.
Prototype hat.
It. So it's like, just working on different stuff. It's awesome.
I think US is always like, North America is always like, last to hop on the safety train.
Mm-hmm.
Like when you go overseas, they kind of get it. Like,
yeah.
And like specifically for you, like your body is that's your investment. That's you need to protect that to move forward and continue to do, you know, what you want to do really.
Totally. Yeah. Got to keep it healthy.
And then line skis, that's like, so you were with Liberty for a little bit, and I'm sure they kind of gave you your start, and you still love those dudes.
Oh, they're great, man.
And then how did the Line Skis deal work? How did it come about?
Line's like the dream sponsor for me, at least. Those guys are like, they have the sixth team. They're awesome. Yeah, they kind of hit me up this, I guess, late summer, fall. And I kind of just started talking and ended up making a deal. And it's those guys. I love that ski. It's awesome. And
what ski are you great. On?
I'm skiing the Vision 118 this year mostly. I don't know if I'm allowed to talk about it, but we're working on a new ski for next year too. And it's going to be really sick.
Nice.
Really sick.
So you're like, involved with that then? Like you are?
Yeah. It's kind of – the Vision 118 is like a really good pow ski. It's so playful. It's so fun. I like a little stiffer ski typically. So this next ski that we're making, it's going to be – kind of oriented towards like the free ride, go fast, charge, stomp. It's really good. I'm stoked.
So are you dealing with like, you're giving them direct feedback on everything?
Yeah.
Camber, awesome. Rocker, stiffness, playfulness.
Totally. Yeah. It's me and a few other guys on the team that we're kind of like working with. Peter, who's the engineer.
Yeah. Pete Seattle. For scale. Yeah.
Yeah, he's the man, dude. He's so good. I'll hit him up on Instagram and be like, oh, dude, the ski's great. Like little softer in the tip or whatever it is. And he's like, he's great.
It's so like, do you see your future growing? You know, eventually your body will start to get – you're young, so you got plenty of time. But, like, we'll start to give way. Do you see yourself, like, landing in a role with a brand kind of more in a design role? Like, what's the future entail in a perfect – obviously, we're going to ski forever, hopefully. And that's great. But like, there will come a point where like, you know, you're not doing these major film segments anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, hopefully we got a long time, but.
Hopefully that's the plan. I think the more I like am kind of working in the ski industry, the more I kind of want to stick around. It's pretty cool. And I'd love to like push into, like whatever it is. And the whole marketing side of skiing is insane too. Like I'd love to kind of grow into that. So we'll see. I don't know. Line's great though. I love working with those guys. So maybe I'll stick around and pester them for a job.
What kind of boots are you in? Can we talk about boots? Or we not have a boot sponsor?
I'm a Lang and Look. They hooked me up with some boots binding. So I'm skiing. I can't get out of this race boot, man. It's people make fun of me. It's like,
are you in an RS then? Or are you in like a plug boot?
A plug boot.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's It's sweet. I like can't. I've tried all these other boots and I just can't. They're just too soft.
It's performance, right? Like you're just not willing to sacrifice performance. So you're in a plug boot and you grew up racing, so it doesn't matter to you at all as far as.
Yeah. I got a Vibram sole on there, so it's. but it's like we're like out there. It's like I'm like strapping my lace up liners on. It's like not ideal, but worth the sacrifice.
Right. Awesome, man. That's it's crazy. It's big mountain lines, plug boots. I mean, it makes sense. And then how big of skis are you running?
I'm skiing like a 189.
Okay.
Right now.
Nothing crazy.
No, nothing crazy.
I mean, I guess that's considered big for most East Coast guys, so.
Yeah.
But
sometimes like a 186. Right. But I like a little bit longer, but they all achieve the same thing.
Yeah, they're all doing the same thing. So what's next for March? Just more filming?
More filming. Yeah, we're hoping stability lines up.
I hope so too,
there's so much stuff around here that I want to get on, but yeah, I mean, like we were saying, it's can't push it.
No, it's not worth it. How do you plan your lines? How do you plan what you're going to ski? Is it all Google Earth?
I've been using this app. Have you ever been on Fat Maps?
I have not.
You should check it out. It's pretty cool. It's like, it's like a Google Earth. You can like zoom in and like really kind of like look at different aspect, elevation, slope angle. It's like it's really cool. And I was going to school for GIS. So it's like essentially map making. So I'm pretty into the maps.
So you understand it and how it works and why it works like that.
Stay up too late scrolling on the maps often, but it's sweet. And just like sled around and just like know the zones.
So when you say sled around, you're, because East Coast, we don't have a ton of sled access.
Mm-hmm.
So what does your day entail? Are you up at 2 a.m.? Are you?
No, not usually. for like a film day, I guess. Yeah, usually pretty early. Hop in the truck. It's like a ridiculous task. It's like jump in the truck, burn way too much gas getting to the trailhead. Unload your sled, burn more gas getting up there. And usually it's like pretty far back, like 10 more miles, like a lot of times. But yeah, it's like mostly snowmobiling with some skiing, usually day to day. But sledding's so fun too. So
it's the best. It's great. It's funny that you say burn a bunch of gas and then burn more gas. So what do you think?
Yeah, it doesn't feel good.
I mean, there's talks of electric snowmobiles. Obviously we have electric vehicles happening. Are you excited about that? Are you not?
Electric snowmobiles are the move. That's going to be like so amazing. I mean, I think they already have them. I've never ridden one. I've ridden an electric dirt bike.
Yeah. And they're wild. They're
so powerful. It's insane.
But my argument to play devil's advocate is like, I'm a two-stroke guy. I've always been a two-stroke guy. Like
me too. I love them.
Dirt biking is like, that's if I'm not skiing, you know, then in the
yeah,
summer,
you ride moto. I saw,
yeah,
I
was a lot of it. Yeah,
nice.
But I'm like, okay, so I buy an electric dirt bike, which rips, right? Like, there's no arguing that the power that an electric motor can make is equivalent to a four stroke or two stroke dirt bike. But how do I charge it?
Yeah, it's true.
So, like, and that's just me playing devil's advocate. And I have a van and it runs totally off the grid. And like, my motor drives the vehicle, but like, you know, I have 350 watts on my roof and my heat, like everything runs off solar.
Mm-hmm.
But if I had to charge a dirt bike, there's no way. So until we make moves in that direction of clean, reusable energy, I just it's bullshit. Like,
yeah, it's a lot.
And I want it to happen. Don't get me wrong. Like, we need to make better moves. And it's cool to hear a 23-year-old sit, like, be conscious of his fuel consumption.
Yeah, it's just like going a trip. You sled. It's like every day I'm putting like $25 into my at least sled. And then it's like got to fill up the truck. My truck gets like 12 miles a gallon. It's brutal.
Right.
It's like not a good way to roll. But, I mean, it's kind of like – the sacrifice we're taking right now, I guess. But
right,
I definitely don't feel good about it, but it's
No, but I think it's neat that you're conscious of it, because at 23, I definitely wasn't. You know, I've got about 10 years on you. So, and I think the world's changed a lot, maybe for the better, maybe for the worse. But like at 23, you being an outdoor influencer, you're also an outdoor activist in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah. And like, yeah, totally.
You shining light on those things is refreshing, really, more than anything. It's just being conscious is all we can be until brands.
No, I agree. It's just hard for me to like, I'm like, I'm not doing a good job. I drive a big old V8 and a sled. It's like, it's hard for me to bring that. I know what you're saying, but it's, I would feel bad.
It's not your job to manufacture, right? So like, you're not making the truck and you're not making the snowmobiles, but it is your job to be conscious. And like, I think right now that's all we can do is be conscious of these things. And then hopefully as things change down the line, continue to push them and change them. Cause like, you know, if electric snowmobile company called you tomorrow and they had something that was usable, that, you know, you're going to the back, like you need that. Like,
yeah,
if
totally.
If you get a cold snap and the battery's dead, like
you're stuck,
you know? So I don't think you should feel bad. I think you should just be conscious. And it sounds like you already are, which is amazing for,
I'd love to try out electric snowmobile. We'll see. The dirt bike, I see the dirt bike though, especially like a track bike. If you're like riding track.
Yeah. And like, I think in California, they just said all like woods vehicles have to be electric by like 2030 or something, which isn't really that far away if you think about
it. No, not at all. Did you see, I think GM said they're going all electric by like 2035 or something.
Seems it's
crazy.
But
it's awesome, but that's
it's amazing. But if I just have a diesel generator hooked up to charge all those things, then we haven't gone anywhere, right? Like, so I think that's always my devil's advocate is like, until we get a cleaner renewable energy, which we are working on, you know, it's to me, it's, you know, I was at a dirt bike race and these guys had the Atlas electric dirt bikes. They're kind of like flexing on how they're greener. And I'm like, you literally towed a trailer with a diesel generator on it to this race. So you could charge. It was a 24-hour dirt bike race. Oh, so like, nice. These guys are running, you know.
Yeah.
But I'm like, arguably my two-stroke is burning less.
You could argue.
Fuel than your diesel
generator. It's a little backwards.
So it's, but I, again, I could go on a tangent all day, but it's interesting.
And you can't beat the two-stroke dirt bikes or snowmobiles.
You can't. But hopefully we can change that. And I think it's just being conscious and being open, because there was a lot of things that I thought weren't going to get better. You know, just like your skis, like your visions that, you know, you love that thing. And then next year when your new ski comes out, it's like, whoa, it got better. Like,
oh, yeah.
You know, and it's – so, I don't know. It's cool, man. It's fun to hear, and it's fun to hear you be conscious about it. But what's kind of your closer? What do you got coming up? Where can people follow you?
Yeah.
If you have a name for your video that's coming out, let us know. If it's not there yet, keep it quiet. What are you excited about?
Not there yet, but I'll let you know. We're doing another Benchy Creative kind of short piece. It'll probably be 20, 25 minutes long. We're still working on it. But it'll be out next fall. We're hoping that COVID kind of allows us to do some kind of premiere or whatever it is. If you live in Bozeman area or wherever, I'm on Instagram at Jake Hopfinger, JakeHopfinger. Tag along.
Cool, man. Thanks. Thanks for being on the show, and thanks for taking some time to chat. Hopefully you can go get some turns and we didn't lose all the snow for you. So.
Oh, no way. It's Bluebird. I'm pretty psyched.
Perfect. Cool, man. Thanks.
Yeah, we'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, man.
So there you have it. Episode 5 of The Pursuit on the Out of Bounds Network? Out of Bounds Podcast? I don't know. It's kind of all the same. So I hope you liked it. If you did like it, please review us on iTunes. I want to thank Jake again for taking the time to come skiing and just having a real conversation. It's fun to hear someone so young have that type of grasp on the industry. It's just a great time to talk, and it was awesome. So, again, like, subscribe. Thanks again, Jake. And we'll see you guys next week on Wednesdays.